Hello and welcome to Inside the Burrow, the FEU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I'm joined by Shane and Jack as usual. And today, this is a special edition where we are going to break down FAU versus Memphis in the Montgomery Bowl. FAU was selected to play against Memphis, and certainly going to a bowl game, always great. So I think that's probably what we'll focus on today. There's certainly been other things that have been happening within FAU football, certainly signing day and, you know, transfers in and out of the portal and stuff like that. So, but those kind of deserve their own episodes. So today we're just kind of focus on the Montgomery Bowl. So FAU has played Memphis previously in the New Orleans Bowl. For those that remember, FAU's first bowl win against Memphis in the New Orleans Bowl after FAU won the 2007 Sun Belt Championship. Really great game, fun game, game I was fortunate enough to be in, to be there while I was on the marching band. So, I mean, it's Memphis. They finished third in the AAC, and past couple years they've had a really good squad. And FAU kind of finished the year inconsistently. So maybe this is an opportunity for us to put defense and offense together, which we kind of flip-flopped the past two games with defense and offense shining. So, I guess that's kind of at least we get to watch FAU football one more time. And, Shane, what are your thoughts for this year's Montgomery Bowl?
I think it's a good opportunity. Memphis is a good team. A lot of people before the season kind of remember that Memphis was another dark horse to play in a New Year's Six Bowl. Again, they played a New Year's Six Bowl last year in a game they played almost competitively versus Penn State, almost won that game. They have quarterback Brady White is pretty much their whole team this year. They've had quite a few opt-outs at skill positions, but still Brady White's been in college football since 2014. So he is a seasoned veteran, and, you know, he's thrown for well over 300 yards a game, and that's going to be the challenge. You know, hopefully our defense is a little bit more rested than they were coming into Southern Miss. They will. You know, they're not coming off 4 days of rest. But, you know, those corners, Roman Mungin and Zion Gilbert, are going to be tested this game, and I really think the game's going to ultimately end up coming down to how they play.
Yeah, Shane, I mean, Calvin Austin III, the star Memphis receiver, I mean, he is just out of his mind. He's only played half this year. His first game was November 7th against USF, and his stats are just off the charts. I mean, he has over 1,000 yards receiving in what, five games played, 10 touchdowns. So the corners are going to have their hands full. Brady does run the offense, but this is what Memphis has been known for years now, a high scoring, high octane offense that's going to put up points. And we saw it when they're competing with UCF over the past few years as the best group of five team going for that American conference title. So not going to be easy. The defense is going to have their work cut out for them, but, you know, for every game this year, except for, you know, the last one in Hattiesburg, which we're not going to talk about, the defense has, you know, been up to the challenge. They've been up for it. So, again, this is an opportunity for the defense to show just how elite that they are. Hopefully they can show that those four or five drives that Southern Miss had where they ended up scoring points, whether it was touchdowns or a field goal in the first half, was a fluke. And then another opportunity for the offense to try to find its identity as we go into a first real offseason with Willie Taggart. Because I know we've talked about this so many times, guys. This team did not have an offseason to understand this playbook. So maybe now we can try some things out and see if we can use that as a springboard to go into the offseason to hopefully bring the Conference USA trophy back to Boca.
Yeah, my biggest concern, though, as you kind of talk about Davis here, is just our defense all year has almost gotten away with some poor quarterback play and kind of the man coverage request. Southern Miss exposed us with Jason Brownlee, and who we recruited, and Tim Jones. So those two best receivers we've seen all year. And when you're not facing kind of the Frank Harris's or of the world and some of these poor quarterbacks in Conference USA, they can expose man coverage a little bit. So we have to get to the quarterback. We have to get Brady White, or else he's going to take advantage of us.
Shane with some shade to UTSA there, but UTSA, I mean, I'm just saying, we've said this last week, they're looking like the best team in the conference. I'm just going to say that real quick.
Yeah, no.
It's not a week, you're right, but just want to throw it out there.
I'm saying to expose our defense has had a vast advantage, not that they've been great,
yeah,
of just quarterbacks not really being able to take advantage of how our defense is designed, okay? You know, and Southern Miss did that. It was the two best receivers we've seen all year, okay? They essentially had two Victor Tuckers, and they beat us. They made us pay for it. Now, granted, Roman Munden wasn't playing, but, you know, that's my concern for this game, especially if we don't get pressure on the quarterback. You know, hopefully some of the running backs are back. Malcolm Davidson, you know, love the way James Charles ran against Southern Miss. He's just been super gutsy this year. Yeah. I would expect Nick Trani to start. I like using Posey on a few drives a game just to, you know, show the defense something different, go out there with a package of run plays and just let them go out there. That worked against Southern Miss. I'm saying we need to get to 35 points in order to win this game.
Yeah, I think, again, like I kind of mentioned earlier, we were offense kind of found its footing against Southern Miss. And, defense, like you mentioned earlier, the 4 days rest, I think, played a huge factor in the Southern Miss game and them really scoring as many points as they did. And I think a well-rested defense and given this given Jim Levitt time to game plan against this team, I feel pretty confident in that. And you know, again, not having it's not much new not having BJ Emmons and Malcolm Davidson. Maybe we'll see a little bit more Kelvin Dean this time around. He only had a few snaps against Southern Miss. Even Tyreek Tisdale got in a snap at running back there. I think the 35 points, it's a bowl game. Bowl games tend to, tend to be higher scoring affairs. And I think certainly the team will want to go out on a high note.
If anything, they tend to be weird.
Yeah.
Right? Bowl games are always weird and unpredictable. You see things you don't expect. Some team, it's just when you have more time to prepare, weirder things happen. Some teams are in it more than the other one. I think both teams will be pretty much in this game. They want to win it. I think ending the season, if the dust settles and we have a win over American team and go 6-3, you call that a great season considering everything this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And you know, I think it might be the challenge, I think, for both teams is like, are enough players going to be motivated enough?
I think we'll be fine on that factor. They wanted to play in the game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you saw there were not just administration, but there were players, teams kind of making the decision to opt out of bowl games that we saw this year. So not just the coaches making the decision. So yeah, I think that's a good point that both teams are going to be up for it. Hopefully that's the case. So.
And what a joke that 9-win Army can't get a bowl game. I mean, I think this season just shows between the playoff, between the bowls.
Yeah.
Just about how much Power 5 conferences have power unjustly over the entire FBS subdivision. We could talk about this for.
Well, there's no college football playoff. And I think that
it's an invitational.
It's an ESPN. It might as well be. A Hawaii basketball tournament at the beginning of the year. That it's literally that. It's an ESPN Invitational. They've exposed. I can go on. You want to do a 30-minute episode of me just no intro solo, 35-minute straight rant on what I think of this playoff situation.
Yeah,
I could simply do that. It probably in one breath.
We're no longer the minority, though. That's the thing. It seems like everyone is on our side except for Kirk Herbstreit, who thinks that mid-majors should just take the high road.
Yeah, well, that's that. Well, you remember who Kirk Herbstreit, where his little boys go under Dabo. And Dabo's the king of shooting down G5. And, you know, Dabo's also the guy who said he would quit coaching football if players ever got paid. So, you know, Kirk Herbstreit seems to be nothing but Dabo's little horn boy in this situation. Yeah. But the committee has made it so blatantly obvious, and we're changing subjects here a little bit, but just how biased they are, it's ridiculous. And the only way to do this is go to an 18 playoff with automatic bids.
We can say 18 playoff, but I mean, this is the first time a group of five team has finished in a top eight. And since he dropped for beating a ranked team in a monsoon game and to win their conference. So we can say 18 playoff, but I guarantee if it's still an 18 playoff.
No, what you do is you have the five conference winners, the top one, G5 team.
Yeah, but how are we going to know they're going to do that? It is going to be an all-out war to get that one spot, and that is exactly what's wrong with this in the first place. Shane, let me finish. If they say, like, you have to play these teams, you have to be in these conferences in order to become legitimate, and then we say, well, okay, then let us join the SEC, and the answer is obviously no. It is rigged against us. And, you know, if change doesn't happen where we do get representation, then – lawsuits need to start flying.
College football should want more parity. It's just not fun with the same few teams at the top. I don't understand why they just keep pushing the same teams over and over. What was more fun this year for the average college football fan? Coastal Carolina or Clemson? What's honestly more fun?
Right, especially the BYU game. Like,
yeah, game of the year. Clemson's great, but God, it's just they're boring at this point. It's not fun. It's the smaller things in college football. It's the upstart programs. That's why people like this sport. And they're just making a conscious effort to turn it into the NFL.
Yep. And that's why they like March Madness so much. Exact same reason. So it just further proves the point. And a group of five playoff is not the answer. And that's exactly what the Power Five want. So absolutely not. And it's a non-starter. So – we got a little sidetracked there, but you can tell that the emotions are high when it comes to group of five teams. Like, yeah, we don't like UCF that much, but I mean, we see a spade when it's a spade. I mean, we see, UCF getting screwed when they're getting screwed. And when we see things like that, me personally, I'm on board with them claiming a national championship. I hope Cincinnati claims a national championship. I hope Coastal claims a national championship. That's the only way we can get this conversation going.
Yeah, they need to make a mockery of it.
Yeah.
I think they all do.
Because think about it, guys. If we went undefeated this year, that would have been us. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, and I think there's rooting. Okay, we're making up things by the seat of our pants, so done.
Yeah.
There's certainly rooting interest for FAU because this is something I think, you know, all of us, we see that there's potential here. And we saw that, you know, UCF kind of, I feel like laid the groundwork for group of five teams to make a big impact. And yes, we're certainly behind UCF in a lot of ways, but there's a path basically, you know, and you know, we kind of want to have our seat at the table. So,
agreed.
Yeah.
Boise State in the 2007 Fiesta Bowl either.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That even seems like the BCS, that was a more fair process than what this is. To make mention of Army not getting a bowl bid, but the South Carolina did, and it's the – I was just looking at the bowl rankings, and South Carolina versus UAB is the last ranked bowl. I think it's the 25th or 26th ranked bowl because 6-3 UAB versus 2-8, 2-8 South Carolina in the Gasparilla Bowl. So
right here in Tampa, and that is the only Conference USA Bowl matchup where this USA team is favored, for what it's worth. So not favorable matchups, but there are some great ones. UTSA and Louisiana. play off the shelves. Marshall against Buffalo should be interesting as well. So,
yeah, that'll be interesting for about a half quarter. And then, you know, Grant Wells, maybe in the third quarter, he'll complete a pass.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take this game in my own hands and start throwing pick sixes.
Marshall, they showed that they can't stop the run, so it makes me wish
They are who we thought we were. They were all season.
Yeah. And we let them off the hook.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see. It's Wednesday, December 23rd at 7 p.m. So make sure you are checking out the Montgomery Bowl with FAU, and then hopefully we'll be recapping the game in this year's season next week. So again, make sure you check everything that's going on over at FAUWallaceNest.com. Make sure you're checking out the podcast there on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everything like that. And we thank you for spending some time with us, and we will see you next time. Go Owls.